Hello, everybody. I'm Tom Dorsey.
And I'm Tommy Doyle.
And it is the 29th of November, 2017. Time is rolling by very quickly. Starting to see people putting out their Christmas decorations outside.
That's right. Earlier and earlier. I live near a mall, and they got Christmas decorations up the day after Halloween. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, and they're selling trees now, too.
Yeah, selling trees.
I'll never forget my wife and I's first Christmas together. And we bought a tree. And by the time Christmas rolled around, all of the needles were dry and had fallen off the tree, and all you had was the limbs. We had to go out and buy another tree.
My wife and I are having our first Christmas, and we got a tree that's about 2.5 feet tall.
Is that right? Just a little one. Why?
Just a little one. We're in a little baby apartment.
Oh, okay.
We don't got space for the grand hotel-style trees yet.
I gotcha.
Gotta save up for that.
Well, this time of year presents unique opportunities for investing. The wash sale rule comes into existence this time of year, where you take a loss and you can't go right back into the stock. You know, so bank the loss and then jump right back into it and go long. But we have other ways of doing that, and it's with exchange traded funds. I want you to explain that.
Yeah, what we do, we've seen in the reports the past 2 days, is tax loss harvesting. We did stock ideas on Monday, and then Tuesday we followed it up with some ETF replacements. And so one of the examples we went through was through biotechnology. So if you're in names like Gilead or Insight or Celgene, Regeneron, Alexion Pharmaceuticals, those names have not had great years. So far, Gilead's up about 1.3%. The others are down upwards of 5 to almost 12%. So taking losses in those and replacing it with an ETF that they are a member of, like the First Trust Biotechnology ETF, FBT, that one is up 35% on the year. So you're getting rid of your positions that have deteriorated, and you're maintaining that exposure by going into an ETF that owns those positions but has moved to the upside. FBT is up about 35% on the year.
Okay, so you want, there's an interesting thing about that too. When you think about supply and demand, and when you have selling pressure for a particular reason, which is to harvest the tax loss, it's not like you really want to get out of that company. It's just that I want to take my loss.
Right.
And the selling pressure forces the price of the stock down. So we'll do a Mr. Wizard thing.
You love doing Mr. Wizard.
I love Mr. Wizard. You got to Google Mr. Wizard. He was an older guy who was a scientist. Always had a younger kid with him, and they would do stuff like suck eggs down a bottle
of Diet Coke.
A bottle of Diet Coke to demonstrate how vacuum worked and that type of thing. So in this, when you force the price of something down, let's say artificially, what is the likely thing to happen when supply expends itself?
Demand's got to come around.
Okay. So what happens then?
Prices go up.
Prices go up. So, very good, man. This is just like Mr. Wizard. So the price will rise. So you look at the tax loss bounce.
Mm-hmm.
You look at these stocks. So once the tax loss selling is over, these are the ones that may give you a quick bounce. They're not the ones you want to necessarily go into as a long-term investor, but for those who are traders, these might be the play.
After that wash sale rule. So come, what, January?
Yeah, come January, is probably the trade. Mm-hmm. Once you're pretty much had all of the tax loss selling over with, which would be, I'm not sure what it is today, T plus two, whatever it may be, I think you could probably take a loss the last day of trading.
Mm-hmm.
So once that happens, the 2nd of January, you might watch these have a little bounce in them.
Yeah. Yep, we're also seeing some changes take shape in the form of international equities. We had a change in the Dali rankings for the sub-asset level of international equities. Europe developed is now above Latin America. Latin America was up in the number one spot throughout last year. In the beginning of this year, we've now seen it fall from first to fifth. So it has 99 buy signals in its favor. So does Europe Developed, but that X-ranked tiebreaker helps Europe Developed get the ranking. And you compare that to something like Europe Emerging with 145 buy signals. So there's still a big dispersion between number one and these two, but you are seeing Europe Developed kind of hold steady and do well. One example of a fund within Europe developed that's attractive is another First Trust product is FEP. We're writing about that in today's report. That is up about 30% on the year, and you look at some of its rivals from the other providers, like the iShares product, IEV, that's up about 21%. So you're getting an extra 9% for the same type of exposure, and you just kind of go through the methodologies, and the AlphaDex methodology is kind of paying off this year.
I like that. I like that AlphaDex methodology. I think they do a great job with that. When you look at the international market you're just talking about right now, that developed has moved ahead. If I look at our models, go to our model page and look at the Indonesian model, up 96.85% this year.
Yeah.
That's Indonesia. Look at Hong Kong, up 91%. These are our models. These aren't ETFs, but these are our models. Look at Germany, up 23%. These internationals have done extremely well. Switzerland, 48% this year. Australia is the one that is down on an international basis. Malaysia, which is the lowest volatility country in the world, up 35%. And it's been a great play for international. And now you said international has been overtaken by the developed.
Yeah, so Latin America overtaken by Europe.
And, Latin America.
Okay. We're seeing Asia continue to do well. You're not seeing things like Australia or New Zealand do well, but you are seeing a lot of those Asian funds continue to outperform. Especially what's been interesting this year is Japan has kind of lagged in terms of performance. You know, the charts and the relative strength has looked good, but the performance hasn't really been there except within the past 90 days. We've written up some stuff on Japan recently. I know some fundamental metrics have been given Japan some love, and that's kind of checking out, as you would say, playing the piano with both hands. It's showing up on the technical front as well. Performance has been nice within Japan over the past 90 days, and that's some developed Asia exposure, so not just your emerging markets play.
Well, talking about Japan reminded me of what I had just done recently. I think one of the places to be is in the robotics area. There's no question about it. So if you Google robotics and you look at the companies that are involved in that or look at the ETFs that are involved in that, I looked at one ETF and I said, you know what? The beauty of ETFs is they're transparent totally. So I can go to the ETF. I can look at the stocks that underlie that ETF. I can then put them in a Dorsey Wright model and compare them on a relative strength basis and then pick the top five. And if I'm looking for a stock to own.
Right.
And the interesting thing I found is in robotics, many of those stocks are Japanese stocks.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even aware of that.
Get some ADR exposure.
Precisely. But they're Japanese. Right. These are names that I never even heard of.
Right.
I've been around a long time. I mean, I know Hitachi, but some of these other ones I can't pronounce, but they're in robotics. And one of the reasons when you think about Japan being in robotics is it's a very old country. There are people, lots of people my age, real old people, you know.
Yeah, the average age is like 60s or 70s or something.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll be 70 in a week.
In a week?
Oh, Lord. Another decade. But still, Japan has such an old population and not so many young people to take over. Not so many young people to even help the older people. Mm-hmm. So when you think about, in some countries, a great occupation might be to be a nurse where you go in and you help the elderly in their home. You don't have that in Japan. You don't have enough people. Mm-hmm. So robotics are a big thing in Japan. You got to watch Japan for robotics. There's some interesting names there. And the beauty, I'm going to say this again, the beauty about the ETFs is they're transparent. You want to see what we own? Go check do it yourself. Check it out.
And you're talking about putting those holdings in a matrix.
Yeah, by looking at the companies that underlie a particular ETF, take them and put them in. If you're interested in some stock trade or interested in knowing what's there, what's the strongest ones there, put those stocks into a matrix, run the Dorsey Wright matrix, and you can see the whole strength from top to bottom.
And then throw that ETF name in there, too, to see how that stacks up relative.
Great idea. Fantastic idea. Make that part of the matrix and see where that happens, where that comes up.
Good ideas. So in addition to some of the good ideas and on the topic of good ideas, we're seeing the indicators in the short term also flip positive. So bullish percents and positive trends have stayed positive. They're in X's, offenses on the field. We're also seeing the 10 weeks and 30 weeks and the high lows all improve, specifically within the NYSE and OTC universes. So that's a leading indicator. It's shorter term in nature. So those things, if they move in one direction for a handful of weeks, that will kind of dictate what the longer term indicators look like. And so we might see some positive action in the coming weeks as a result of that.
That would be good because you'd expect a year-end rally, and this market has been extremely strong. I'll tell you what, some of the things now I'm looking at, it makes me feel like the dot-com days. Now, you wouldn't have any idea what that meant because you weren't around in the dot-com. When were you born?
94. I was playing with dinosaurs in Jurassic Park back then.
Yeah, well, things were really heating up in the stock market back then when you were playing with the dinosaurs. And the dot-com days were some of the most intoxicating that I ever experienced in my 42 years in this business. And those were all on the come. I mean, you bought the stocks on technology that was coming. Mm-hmm. They were going to bring this. Now we have this technology. It's already here. I'm talking about the last 17 years. What's happened has been amazing. And I feel like we're in the dot-com phase again, mm-hmm. except this time with developed technology that's going to get even better. Right. And now you have technology, AI, creating more technology. I'm more intoxicated today about investing than I ever have been in my whole life. And I've been through a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it is intoxicating, and it is something to get excited about. And when you talk about that, what's also interesting is a lot of those companies that made it out of the dot-com bubble, they're the ones paying the dividends now. So not only are they are they good growth plays, but you're getting a dividend on top.
That's a great comment, Tommy, because you look at Microsoft was one of the ones that were leading us out of the dot-com days with substance.
Right.
Now pay a heck of a nice dividend.
Yeah.
And I think there's some interesting thing, now that you mentioned that, we'll say Microsoft that's going to restrict it for us, but that's okay. Microsoft is probably a great play if you have a customer who's interested in income and wants to be in the driver's seat of technology. Mm-hmm. I'd say Microsoft.
Yeah, lots of opportunities out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if we see volatility start to pick up and U.S. equities get a little choppy and people get a little nervous, want to secure some profits, you also have international equities that are doing well too.
That's right.
And so you can do that via the ADRs, like you mentioned, or you can take advantage of some of those ETFs. And that's kind of interesting. Get your take on it. Is I've been talking with people like Paul about it. Is you had over in the 2000s, you've had before the recession, international equities were outperforming. That's the place you want to be. Post recession, domestic equities. Now you want both.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept. I like what you just said there, because in the 2000s, if you did anything away from international, you lowered the value of the portfolio. International was the play. I mean, you had Indonesia up 153% in 1 year. Mm-hmm. Then you went into U.S. equities, and that's been the play the whole time. And in particular, U.S. equities, Standard & Poor's 500 cap weighted, which is unusual. I mean, that it would go into that cap weighted version when equal weight has been the play since the year 2000. In particular, cap weight growth has been the real play. And now, as you mentioned, we got the whole world going.
Yeah.
International, U.S. equities, developed markets, Sweden, Switzerland, the whole thing.
The whole thing. Plenty of opportunities.
Plenty of opportunities. One more thing. This is the time of year when the dogs of the Dow come into play. Mm-hmm. And I want you to Google dogs of the Dow. It's had a great track record. Look at the track record on Dogs of the Dow, and this could be part of your customer's portfolio. It's like when I look at a portfolio and I think of the center of the portfolio where the majority of money is. That's going to be in some sort of indexing, and I prefer to be using what we call smart indexing. And then outside you have the planets that will rotate around the sun, and one of those planets can be Dogs of the Dow. And this is the time of year you're going to put that together. I do it every year in my own portfolio. I do it every year. And what the Dogs of the Dow is, you're buying the five highest yielding, lowest price stocks of the Dow Jones. So lowest price means these stocks are down. Mm-hmm. They've been pushed down over this last year, while other Dow Jones stocks have done really well. And that increases the yield. So you're buying a good yield in good quality companies that have a tendency to rotate around. And the Dogs of the Dow has a great strategy. So that could be one of the pieces of the portfolio that you do every single year.
Yeah, and we'll update that. We do a study on that at the beginning of every year. So the beginning of 2018, we'll put that together if you all are interested in reading about that in the report.
Because I'll be doing it again myself. And one thing that I do, too, I'll just say one last word. I don't want to be too long-winded here, is on that Dogs of the Dow. Some of the times during the year, what I do is overwrite them in the beginning. So I want to increase the income in the portfolio. So if it's more of a capital gains type of portfolio, you want to leave them out like that. If it's more of an income portfolio, you're buying a good quality stock with high yield relative to others at this time, and then you're going to augment that yield by selling call options against it. And these call options, you sell a leap that's going to go out at the end of the year, because the strategy is you, when you put it on in January or the end of December, you're not going to touch it for another year.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
That's it.
That's it. See we'll talk to you next week as we get closer to Christmas.